Today is Wednesday. And as every family in the north end of Boston will tell you, Wednesday
is Money Life's Sell of the Week with Charles Roquelaw, editor of the American Association of Individual Investors Journal.
You are quite the bear.
That's right. Every Wednesday, Charles Roquelaw joins us to help us let go of those investments that are going the wrong way.
You idiots, get back in there at once and sell, sell.
Don't keep coming up short. Join us every Wednesday for Charles Roquelaw on Money Life with Chuck Jaffe.
Well, you know what they say. Fools make money, bears make money, pigs, they get slaughtered.
But we don't let that happen to you. We do not want you to be piggish here on Money Life. And so each week, we make sure you get the buy of the week and the sell of the week. And that perspective comes to you from Charles Roquelaw. He is editor of AAII Journal. And of course, if you want more information, AAII.com. And if you want to know what he's doing when he's not here giving us the buy or sell of the week, follow him on Twitter at Charles Roquelaw. By the way, although I always say if you want to know what he's doing when he's not here, Charles does usually tweet about what he's made his buy or sell of the week. So on the off chance you ever miss the show, and we know you would never want to do that, but if you did miss the show, that'd be a quick way to find out what he's doing as well. His buy of the week, Thomson Reuters, ticker symbol TRI. Charles Roquelaw, welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you for having me.
And our sell of the week is?
Waddle and Reed Financial.
Okay, you called it Waddle and Reed. I've always called it Waddell and Reed, but either way, it's ticker symbol WDR. This is Old Line Financial Services, and in saying Old Line, is it just like old and stale? Is that the problem?
No, it's not. This is one of the country's oldest mutual fund companies. A lot of people might know it from its Ivy Funds line. It sells its funds primarily through advisors. It also sells its funds directly to institutional investors. So whereas, say, a Vanguard fund where you could actually just walk up to Vanguard and say, I'd like to buy your fund, for this, like the Ivy funds, you have to actually go through an advisor. The reason why we're selling it, we've held the stock in our dividend investing portfolio. And this is actually one of the original holdings in the newsletter. We started the newsletter in January 2012, and we're selling it to take profits. Since inception through last Friday, we've realized a gain of about 225%. The stock's done really well, which is great from a profit standpoint, but from a valuation standpoint, it gets the stock to a point where we're looking at the numbers, particularly the PE, particularly the yield, where we're thinking the risk-reward ratio has shifted, and now's probably a good time to lock in profits. We don't know the exact time when to get out of the stock. But anytime you bought a stock because you thought the valuation was attractive and it's done extremely well, you're better off selling a little bit too early than realizing after the fact, gee, I should have sold a month ago or 3 months ago.
You know, that's one of the hardest things for investors to do, because most investors sort of take a look and they go, hey, it's done really well. I've got lots of profits. And they don't want to think about giving it up. But they also sometimes make that mistake of, you know, sort of valuing their accounts at their peak. Right? Hey, my account got up to this much and now it loses. So even though they've got a good profit from where they started, they're still looking at it as what the loss is. So how does somebody decide? Because with everything that you said here, there would be a lot of companies that if they went through the same thing, you might be saying, yeah, it's okay to let it ride.
Yeah, I think in this case, you need to have the lines in the sand where you tell yourself, I'm going to get out of X, Y, or Z habits. And that's a disciplined approach. And when you do follow a disciplined approach, there will be times where you probably take profits too early. There will be times when you take profits and then you go back a month later and realize you're really happy that you did. And the whole idea about having this disciplined approach is not trying to optimize the time you get in and out of the stock. It's really to set barriers, to tell yourself, you know, if a stock crosses this barrier on the upside, I'm going to get out. Because over the long term, you'll realize that you've done a pretty decent job of picking profits. Maybe not always right at the top, but you set up situations so you're not incurring a big loss and you're not giving back a lot of the profits. The two things we looked at for this stock particularly was its PE ratio, which is at 24.6 versus a five-year average of 16.3, and its yield, which is 1.9% versus its five-year average of 2.8%. We follow a value-based approach. We bought the stock when we thought it was a good value, but now we look at the relative valuations. And even on an absolute basis, we look at the numbers and realize the stock's really not that attractive anymore. So that really comes down to having a disciplined approach, that if we think the relative valuation is getting too high or we think the absolute valuation is getting too high, take our money, find another opportunity.
So it's become what we call good company, bad stock.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to realize this stock could continue seeing some further upside. For our stance, this is really about just being disciplined in how you approach investing.
That said, if you had to make a forecast, since it's gotten overvalued, give folks an idea of the pain they might be in for if this gets back to levels that you think are more reasonable.
Sure. I think you're looking at potentially a 30% downside risk based on the valuation. I just think the stock's got ahead of itself. But as far as what's going to cause it to do that drop, I think you'd really have to look for a good-sized market correction or worse, perhaps even a bear market. And I think you'd really want to see a change in those mutual fund flows, because part of the reason the stock has been doing so well is that they're continuing to see inflows in terms of assets, particularly into their equity funds. So I think you need to see that trend broken. And I think for something to really significantly break that trend, I think you'd have to see something happen with the market itself. But you could be looking at a situation maybe perhaps where the stock starts to level off, where it's not gaining too much more than its earnings growth. And as a result, you're kind of looking at opportunity cost at some point in the future.
And I think opportunity cost is really the operative thing here, because, of course, again, you're talking about a stock with a yield of almost 2%. Some folks would say, yeah, I'm happy to kind of let that ride when I got winnings on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you went into the stock because of momentum and not because of valuation, you know, you might want to hold on to the stock a little bit longer and just watch the chart. But I think if you bought the stock originally because it was a good value or because you liked the higher yield, that's where your disciplined approach kicks in. And you have to say to yourself, I'm a value investor, I'm getting out. Conversely, if you're a momentum investor, you might say, well, this does upside momentum, but I realize now the fundamentals are in my favor, so I do need to keep one eye on the exit door.
Well, that's exactly where you are headed, the exit door on Waddell and Reed, ticker symbol WDR, and the exit door on your appearances on Money Life for the week. Charles, it's always great to have you on the show. We look forward to doing it again next week.
I do as well.
Now remember, the buy of the week yesterday was Thomson Reuters, TRI, the sell of the week again, WDR, the guest of the week, Charles Roteblatt, editor of AAII Journal, and you can get more information at AAII.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Roteblatt. We've just gotten busy on the April 9th edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the big interview. So stick around. We're living the money life. And remember, I got one badass fund manager coming later. Don't miss it. This is Money Life.